Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right, well, this one is going to be fun. We have got a great episode lined up for you here on the RR Show. I am Vince, and Andy is going to be giving you, kicking it off with r/entitled parents. Actually, today and next Monday's episode is going to be from the entitled category. Posted by user Mitharu, I'm sorry in advance, your daughter is going to lose her parents on her birthday.
So, July 3rd is our daughter's birthday, and she asked for fireworks. We obliged and got two reasonably sized packs from Phantom. She was having a blast and jumping up and down, and a bunch of other children came up and congregated. In our neighborhood, the weekend is full of people doing this, and while she was too young to set them off, she ran the show and selected the next ones to go. Someone from the neighborhood came up initially complimenting her and us on our fireworks. To give perspective, there are at least two or three houses on every street doing this, one right next to his, and we were quite removed in a park. We've had people randomly approach us confrontationally here in the past, as the only lesbian trans couple in the area, etc. So we're both wary, but let things play out. The exchange went as such. I'm having two daughters at home, and I'm wondering if we can speed things up here, they've got to sleep. I'm not trying to be any trouble, but how much longer will you be? Definitely not all night, don't worry. Probably be finished about 9:45, 10 at the latest, and we show how much we have left. Well, I need you to be done in 10 minutes. I'm sorry, sir. I completely understand your situation. We'll definitely try and expedite the show, although I can't speak to anyone else. There's people all over, as I'm sure you can hear, that are also doing this with. I'm sorry for all the distress I caused, and I'll do my best to move through the rest ASAP. It's our daughter's birthday, so we want to get through all of them, but it won't be any longer than 30 minutes, tops. I can't really get through the box in less than 30, and storing these long-term can be dangerous. Him, to me, the trans partner. Well, as he gets up in my face, spitting distance, can you speed it up, or do I need to call the police? Sir, I'm willing to work with you here. I need you to step back and calm down a bit, and I'm sure we can work out an agreeable solution. What if we set up a few at once? But I need you to get out of my personal space, okay? I'd be happy to resolve it. What? You want me to social distance? He takes a few steps back and then returns to my face. Sir, I'm just trying to work things out. I'm in psychology services, and I think, I don't care who you are. And then he turns to my daughter. I'm sorry in advance, your parents are going to jail on your birthday. Shannon, start recording. He walks off and says, fine, I'll give you 20 minutes. Then your little girl's gonna watch you get hauled. Our next story is from Theodrich Reiter. Entitled aunt thinks family means free dog sitter at her demand. So my aunt is always going camping with her son or hiking trips with her boyfriend every other weekend, and she never takes her dog with her. The current excuse is she doesn't think he'll get along with her boyfriend's dog. She never takes him anywhere, always has me and my parents dog sit for her. It wouldn't be a problem if he wasn't a dog from hell. He pees on everything, super territorial, bites people for being too close, terrorizes my cats to the point they are terrified of coming downstairs when he's here. When we dog sit, she rarely picks him up when she's supposed to. She's always super late to everything. She'll say she'll be there at 9, and instead it's close to midnight when she shows. Or she won't show up until the next day because she or her son were too tired to swing by on their way home to get their dog. There's been several instances where she's asked my dad if he can watch the dog, and even without him actually agreeing to it, she'll show up in our backyard with her dog for us to watch. She has a history of having Facebook tantrums about how she has to cancel her plans during the time we say no, and how it's so unfair to her. Well, my parents are going on a 2-week vacation at the start of August. I'm staying at home to take care of the house and our pets and have plans to go to my grandma's, who lives an hour and a half away, to do a joint birthday celebration with hers since our birthdays are the first week of the month. My aunt heard about my parents' plans of vacation last month, but decided around the 4th that she's going on vacation to the Grand Canyon with her son, her boyfriend, and his son. For those same 2 weeks, my parents will be having theirs. The woman had the actual gall to ask my folks to reschedule their vacation so they'd be home to babysit her dog for 2 weeks. My parents flat out refused because why the fuck should they have to reschedule their vacation for her? She refused to accept our refusal, and while we're all hanging out at my grandma's backyard, she just kept trying to persuade us. She said, "Me and my son never get to take vacation together out of state. I don't want to have to cancel." My dad replies, "You don't have to cancel. You'll just have to find someone or someplace to watch the dogs since wife and I won't be here. Or just take him with you." "Well, he's not good with these kinds of trips." And my mum said, "Have you ever actually taken him on a trip? You don't know how he handles these if you've never taken him. Oh, well, he probably won't get along with boyfriend's dog, and he gets so mean around people. OP, you're not going. Can you watch him, can't you? You don't have to do anything else, do you?" "No, I have plans during that time, and watching him on my own is exhausting. He bit me 3 times the last time he was here, and I have to watch him like a hawk to make sure he doesn't attack my cats." "Well, the cats just hide upstairs when he's around, so they'll be fine." "And you think it's fair for our cats to have to hide upstairs for 2 whole weeks? One of them gets so freaked out just by him being there, she barely eats when he's around. 3 days is hard enough on her. 2 weeks is cruel." "Well, you could figure something out. I really don't want to have to take him to the kennels for 2 weeks. I don't think it's humane to keep a dog in a kennel. Are you sure you two can't push your vacation back a few weeks?" It's just a lot of no's, and eventually the conversation dropped and we thought that everything was fine. But then my aunt went on one of her usual Facebook rants, probably because she thought no one in the family would see. Only my mum, my sister, our uncle, different aunts and husband, and his son are ever really on Facebook besides her. Going on a "woe is me, the world is unfair" complaint about how we're mean and that family's supposed to help each other out, so why can't we just stop being selfish and watch her dog? And if she doesn't have anyone to watch her dog, then she and her son will have to cancel plans and won't be able to go with her boyfriend and his son to the Grand Canyon, and oh, how unfair that was to them. She's also been pestering us constantly to see if we're suddenly available to take her dog for her. I'm honestly not going to be surprised if she just shows up in the backyard again to drop him off, regardless of being told no.
Hey, it's Vince, and as a small business owner, as a dad, life is busy. I'm sure you can relate. Lunch rolls around, and you got to stop to eat. It's kind of a drag. Well, if you got 2 minutes, you can eat right with Factor. These are chef-crafted, never-frozen, dietitian-approved, ready-to-eat meals in just 2 minutes. Now, when you hear that, you probably think it's full of just preservatives and junk. No, it's not. This stuff legitimately tastes great. So here's a couple of the things that I had. I got the packages right here. It's a jalapeno lime cheddar chicken. That was delicious. Roasted garlic chicken. Oh, yeah. I wish I could visit you again. Blackened salmon with smoked Gouda cauliflower grits. I never had some of this stuff before, and it is tasty and it is good. So if you want to get in on this Factor action, it's really good. Legitimately, seriously, it is good. Go to factormeals.com/the RR Show 50. That is factormeals.com/the RR Show 50. Use that code, get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next. Factormeals.com and use code the RR Show 50.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Our next story is from Holden Position 4. My parents enabled my little brother's minibike mayhem with my minibike! When I was 17, I bought a used minibike and I used it to get to and from a part-time job. Those who have read my previous posts know what my little brother is like. The boy my parents extra coddled because he was diagnosed as high-functioning autistic. And anything I had, my brother had to have too. And if I refused to give it, my parents generally took it. At least until that behavior was exposed to the public when my parents tried to cancel my 14th birthday. After that, my parents stopped forcing me to give my stuff to my brother whenever he wanted it. And that led to some extra huge tantrums from him. My brother would look for things around the house to throw on the floor and break, usually dishes. My parents actually stocked up on plates from secondhand stores because of it. When I got the mini bike, my brother was upset that I wouldn't ever let him ride it, but he's destructive with all of his stuff. Every time he broke his BMX, I'm the one who had to fix it. Change a flat, new pedals, new tires, new handlebars, new brake lines, etc. He's got a stunt BMX that he begged for, and my parents spent hundreds on it. But as much as he loves it, he never fixes it himself or properly takes care of it. He just calls me over, begging me to fix it. My parents got him the parts and have the tools, but he never bothers to do anything more than pump up a tire. And even then, he usually tries to get someone else to do it for him. He's also very careless in where he leaves the bike. He left it in a neighbor's driveway and its handlebars got run over by the neighbor's van. He somehow destroyed the pedals and a new pair had to be put on. He broke the rear brake line while having a tantrum too. The tire was understandable though, since those were out. But it wasn't hard to swap it and I shouldn't have had to come over on a Saturday to do it when my brother's perfectly capable of doing it himself. So damn right, I am not letting him take my mini bike on a joyride, especially with gas prices being so high these days. The mini bike gets like 60 miles to the gallon. So what that it only does 40 miles per hour, I only have a 5-mile commute anyway. About a month before my brother's 14th birthday, my parents called me, begging me to come over and fix the BMX again. Little brother had worn the rear tire down to its threads. I was annoyed, but I came over anyway because they offered to pay me. I swapped the tire and sat down for a bottled water because it was like 100 degrees that day. My brother watched me working on the bike till I was done. His helmet was on, so I figured he was just waiting to go riding on his bike. But the moment my back was turned, I heard my mini bike start up outside and then take off. Little bro took off like a rocket down the street on it before I could get out of the garage. I freaked out, but my parents tried to play it off. But when I didn't placate them, they said they'd get my mini bike back right away. But for them, that was more like just waiting till my brother came back with it. I was annoyed, and I wanted to call the police. But I'm not sure if they'd call it a domestic issue or not. My brother finally came back an hour later. He'd somehow not crashed, but the moment he saw me, he took off again. He drove the bike till it ran out of gas, and my parents had to go and get him. To say I was furious was an understatement, but my parents basically rolled their eyes, handed me $40, and claimed it wouldn't happen again. I said it better not, or I'd call the cops next time. Not sure if it'd help, but they seemed to take my warning. I had to push my mini bike to the nearest gas station to fill it up before I could go home. Before I left, I told my parents if my brother wants a mini bike so bad, then they should buy him one. But then they pulled a 180 and said he wasn't ready to have one because it's a big responsibility, and that it was too dangerous because it's practically a motorcycle. I mean, really? They just let him steal mine for like 2 hours and go joyriding to God knows where, and they don't want to get him one themselves? Yeah, whatever. I'm used to their hypocrisy by now. The last time I went to my parents' house, my brother was massively grounded and in his room for his birthday rampage I mentioned in my first post. But just to be sure, I pulled the spark plug wire off my bike before I entered the house. My brother was glaring at me from his window when I left. I just gave him a goofy wave and drove off. Our next story is from Collie Collie. My mother called me selfish for wanting to be an organ donor and to be cremated when I die. My mother said this years ago. My brother passed away suddenly from cancer in 2019, 27 hours after being diagnosed. He was 37. It tore our family apart from the grief. It caused us to make up our living wills and how we'd like to be buried. I was close to my brother, so he told me what he wanted if he died 4 years before he did. I planned his funeral and everything. My mother trusted me and was pleased of how I planned it. The day after his funeral, we were talking about how we wanted our bodies to be handled after death. I told her I wanted to donate my organs, and whatever's left I wanted cremated and most of my ashes scattered. If family wanted to keep some, they can. My mother asked how would she visit my grave. I told her I don't want a grave, and again said they can have some of my ashes and plan a funeral if they like. I don't care if I get a funeral or not. Then she told me it's a sin to not have your body intact when you go into heaven. When I reminded her I'm a non-believer, she started calling me selfish for putting a burden on her by making her think I'm going to hell for my body not being intact and an atheist. Started calling me selfish for not having a grave for her and the family to visit, and selfish for not letting family keep all of my ashes. When I told her, my body, my choice, my mother started to cry and she said, "Well, if you die before me, I'll make sure you have a grave. I don't care what you want. How could you be so self-absorbed?" I felt bad and apologized. She said, "Think about someone else for once. You know how selfish it is to want to pollute the environment with human remains." Yeah, I know now I said nothing wrong, but at the time I felt like a total ass for not letting my family visit my grave, so that's why I apologized. Since then, I wrote a living will, because I can't trust my mother to handle my wishes. Recently, when the conversation steered to death and burial, I again repeated my wishes. My mother said, "No, you're not. I'm not going to live the rest of my life thinking my daughter is in hell. I'll plan everything for you." Our next story is from bootysnacks.com. My black father called me a mixed-race woman, a bed witch for having a white boyfriend, and threatened to kill him multiple times. This happened a long while ago. I found my biological father whilst I was in foster care. He's from the Caribbean. I grew up in Hawaii. My mum is American. She's a whole other can of beans. I would talk to him over WhatsApp and he talked to me. He didn't raise me, so this is like an issue of entitlement over my dating habits. He also expressed other things about how I should live my life, like eating pork is evil and dislike the fact that I'm surrounded by evil Asians and whites all of the time. You know, normal dad things. That is like being an American GI and finding your long-lost baby in the Philippines and discovering that, oh my god, they don't worship George Washington, and they eat Dinguan, and then being mad about it. I was 17 when he found me, and he expected me to be completely in line with his culture and expectations. At the time, he sent me money, which I appreciated because my foster parents would take all of the money they received from the government and only treated the Filipino foster child with any sense of care or love. If it's not obvious, foster parents were Filipino. Me and the other non-Filipino foster children were left to fend for ourselves. We had a roof over our head and some food, but that was the extent of them caring for us. We would have to buy our supplies for school, pay for laundry, find ways to get clothes, toiletries, etc. They were also openly racist. Foster parents eventually lost their license, anyhow. While talking to my father, it was revealed that he was a raging narcissist, just like my mother. He'd tell grandiose tales about himself, how everyone loves him, and how I needed to go back to the Caribbean ASAP to go back to my culture, and say how I was a black Caribbean girl. He would go on and on about culture, how I needed to go back to my culture, how I was a pure black woman and I need to go back to my culture. Whenever I said I was mixed, he said it was American cultural confusion. He was pretty racist against practically everyone who was not specifically exactly like him. Meanwhile, he wants to choose my husband, who of course has to be pure black, dark-skinned with dreadlocks like him. The audacity to think that he has the right to select a husband for his estranged daughter who grew up in the comparatively socially progressive Hawaii? At the time, I started dating this white guy who I thought was cute and we hit it off. Turns out we share a lot in common. Fast forward, my father kind of finds out because I casually mention my friend. I feel like I'm lying by withholding information, so I come clean. My father threatened to fly to Hawaii and kill my boyfriend and called me a nasty Americanized bed wench, a sellout, that no one trusts black children with white fathers, that race mixing is American degeneracy, along with feminism and homosexuality. He disowned me and stopped talking to me. Not without a bunch of threats, calling me a dumb white girl, an American with no culture, and a sellout. My dad is great, yes. I'm just so dumbfounded by this man. He has me, with a white American woman, and gets mad that when I'm raised by her I don't share his cultural ideals and see myself as mixed. What?
So thanks for being with us. The RR Show is a production of Evergreen Podcasts and Westlore Media. Now, if you'd be so kind, please follow or subscribe to our show wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're feeling extra nice, you might as well leave a 5-star review. But for more, visit the website, rrshow.com. That is rrshow.com. I'm your host, Vince. Thank you to my producer, Kevin. And we'll see you next time here on the RR Show.
True terrors of horror. Bizarre happenings, unexplainable events. On our podcast, Disturbed, terror takes center stage. Each episode is a journey into the darkest corners of human existence, delving into bone-chilling tales of kidnappings, serial killers, maniacs, and the very essence of your worst nightmares coming to life on this weekly true horror show. Disturbed is not for the faint of heart. It's an exploration of real, unadulterated horror sourced from everyday people. Each episode is a descent into the macabre, where we narrate stories that will leave you on the edge of your seat and crawling in your skin. We navigate the disturbing narratives that lurk in the shadows, offering a raw and unfiltered listen into the most terrifying aspects of the human experience. Enter at your own risk and let the unsettling tales unfold in the haunting realm of Disturbed. And remember, listeners, stay safe out there.
History is complicated. The story of human progress is long, messy, and riddled with controversies big and small. On Conflicted, we dive headfirst into history's most infamous events and contentious figures. We try and untangle the good from the bad, the fact from the fiction, and the monsters from the misunderstood. Was Genghis Khan a murderous butcher or a civic pioneer? Did the Allied powers go too far in firebombing the German city of Dresden at the twilight of World War II? And how did the Marquis de Sade acquire such a sinister reputation? And was any of it true? These are just a few of the tough questions we wrestle with and investigate on Conflicted. So if you love history or just enjoy a good story, please join me, your host, Zach Cornwell, for a fascinating new topic each and every month. Conflicted, a history podcast, is available on Spotify, Apple, or wherever else you get your podcasts. I hope to see you soon.